Okay. It's over here and everywhere. We're going to go on a ride now on the Merkava. I'm talking about Maisi Merkava, Hashem's chariot, Merkava. And Rav Kook is the driver, so it's to hold on tight. To hold on very tight. We're learning this remarkable Maimer, Maisi Gracious, Maisi Merkava, bringing it down to a place where we can try to understand, to think about what this means. We're learning it with the parish of Rav Shlomo Avinair, which I understand soon, I hope sometime in the near future, this sefer is going to be published. It's going to be coming out. It's ready to go out. I was told that it's going to be Mishnah soon. But soon, you know, next is so. It's like when you were told soon your apartment will be ready, something like that. But Mr. Shem, it'll be soon. So we're learning the parish of Rav Avinair. We're on the bottom of page 51. And I think you have until page 54. I'm pretty sure, right? That's where the item has Masha. Okay. You're able to send it. You have it, right? Okay, good. Start. Okay, the bottom of page 51, Maisi Merkava. Now, Maisi Merkava, the Mefarshim on Yecheskel, we're going to see in a minute, a little bit from the Mefarshim, on Yecheskel, agree that Maisi Merkava, the workings of the chariot, the mysterious parak in Yechezkel, the workings of the chariot are referring to how Kivyochel, the Shechina herself, rides in this world, conducts this world. The way that the chariot driver is driving the chariot, so Kivyochel, the Shechina, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is directing all of the events and all of the ma'oraot of this world of life. So, the darche ha-hanhoga, the darche ha-hashgocha, it all depends, we'll see in a moment if Avinair refers to this, it all depends which sefer you're learning. If you're learning the Ramchal, if you're learning the Rambam, if you're learning Chassidus Sfarim, if you're learning the Gra, each base medrash has its own way of referring to Maisi Merkava, without always saying the words Maisi Merkava. It's referring to Hashgacha and Haga, the hand of Hashem in our lives in this world. That's what it means. Now, the Mishnah Maseches Chagig calls the next page 52. Ein Darsh Merayis B'Shloisha V'Lo Maaseh Bereishis B'Shnayim V'Lo Merkava Yochid El Im Kein Hechacham U'Mevin Midaita. The Mishnah in Chagiga, you're not allowed to expound upon the subjects of arayos, things that have to do with the relationships, all the arayos, the isui arayos in the Torah. You're not allowed to expound upon them in the presence of three tadarish of these in yonim of arayos. These are sensitive things that have to do with intimacy and so on. In the presence of three, maisi bereishis are secrets of creation. We were talking about that before. Maisi bereishis in the presence of two. But the highest madrega, or maybe not called the highest madrega, but the most secretive, that which needs to be kept most private, is Maisi Merkava. The loy b'merkava b'yachid, elim ken hayachachom mevin midaita. The Maisi Merkava, you can learn in the presence of one person. You don't give a shiur in Maisi Merkava. And we're about to do that. not what they were talking about. You don't give a shiur in Maisi Merkava. It's not with an oilum, not even two or three. Maisi Merkava is biyachid, something that only a Rebbe and a Talmud learn in a chavrusa, one-on-one. And even then, the Rebbe has to be very, very careful that this student is chacham or mevin midaita. Talking about a student who is a chacham or mevin midaita. Obviously, chacham is midah chachma and mevin is Midavina. There are a lot of things going on here. There's a lot on this Mishnah. But what we see from the Mishnah is that as far as the secrecy that surrounds Ma'aseh Merkava, it's more than even than Ma'aseh Bereishis. So what is that? Why is that? We're not going to go into that in great depth now. Rav Kook takes us in the direction of how to understand this and how Madrega. So let's just try as much as is possible for me, at least, to try to translate these few words from Rav Kook, and Rabbi Avinah is going to help us along. What is the Ma'aseh Merkava? L'inyaneinu. We're not going into the depths of it, but what is it? So Rav Kook writes, Shehi ha'hanhara ha'elyon. Ahanhara ha'el yayna. Now, of course, what is a nahar? A nahar is a river. Hanhara ha'el yayna. Rav Kook's way of writing things, of expressing things is different, is unique. So I guess maybe we could translate it as Hanhara ha'el yayna, that Hashem conducts like a current, a flow of divine providence. That Hashem and Hor Ha'Elyon, how the higher world, the will of the higher world of Hashem, flows into this world. Ha'an Hor Ha'Elyon. Nihirin in Aramaic means what? Nihirin means a lotion of brightness, of light, of love. Again, a current, a flow. The current, the flow of divine illumination. If I was trying to write it in a fancy way. This is the Hanhora Ha'elyon. A flow of divine illumination from above to below. Hamisagelis es achushim vesarizanos, that equips one's senses, the chushim, a person's senses, and esarizanos, and a person's will. His resignus, what he wants. Es ha-hakaros ves ha-regoshos. One's recognition, one's feelings, one's emotions. Leheoches bo'emek ha-rayonos, ha-ra-ayonos, ha-rayonius ha-eson. There is a flow of Hashem's light into our lives that gives us the ability to feel. To feel, to be aware of, to want, to grab onto, to hold onto the depths of this powerful idea, this idea of everything is Hashem. So Hashem is hidden. Hashem is hidden. I spoke about that a little bit by the Hilula, the Sata of Kadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself similar to Salma. In a robe and a thick covering. But Hashem has equipped us with a flowing illumination of His presence in the world and in our lives, that it has the ability to lift up our ritzinus, our desires, our chushim, our senses, our hakaras, our regoshes, our emotions, our feelings. To become completely connected to and bound up with the depths of this powerful ideal of recognizing the source of life, perfect and eternal source of life. To the point that life, which comes from Hashem, can progress, can move forward with strength, with courage, and with the strength of holiness. Then I say, "Kulas Hamavus," to completely defeat the Malach Hamavus, to defeat death. And it was the ultimate tachlis is that reality of Hashem will be so powerful, we'll feel it in such a way, it'll be so clear to us, it'll so completely take us, that death will be defeated. It'll be the end of Malachimus. Vatov mamti kulo eskol hara kolil. And the good will sweeten all of the ra. The good will sweeten all of the ra altogether. Kalil means gans, altogether. The Tov will be mamti kulo eskol hara. Now there are tzaddikim, they have to live in that. They live in that Messias. The Messias now. It's not something that has to wait till Tchias HaMeisim should be soon. But to the end of time, let's say a person can live in that way even now, where death itself is overcome. With the fear, not that we can't overcome death until Tchias HaMeisim, but the fear of death. The fear of death. I had this conversation with a wonderful person the other day. On and on and on again, like, and I try each time to chazen on yourself. Here it comes, like COVID-19, but there's 19 million, you know, about. And this person was expressing like such unbelievable, disabling fear of this sickness, which I'm not saying shouldn't be taken seriously. I always have to be careful because then I'm going to get an email that I said it's not serious. So. It's very, very serious. It's very, very serious. Everybody has to do all the right stuff and so on. But this person was going on and on and on. And I just said, I was listening and I said, it was a woman. So I said, okay, so the worst thing happens is you're going to die. So let's say you'll die. Okay. So she goes, what do you mean? I said, you might die from COVID. You might. And she just stood there, and I said, you know, she said, you're making fun. I said, I'm not making fun. I'm just saying that you don't have to be so afraid of dying. What do you do? Maybe to visit the cemetery a little bit more often. You know, we'd like it to be at 120. Sometimes it's sooner, sometimes it's later. Not later than 120, but sooner than one, later than person's expectations, but this pachad of modus, which Rav Kook spoke about a great deal. A lot of what's happening right now in the world has to do with pachad of modus, a fear of dying. Not science or medicine. I think everybody that's rational, that's still in a place that's not terrified and under the control of the malach of modus, will be ready to concede that many of the things that are going on are not science or medicine. It's a pachad, a fear of dying. That sets off triggers, which I understand, and I wasn't making fun of her. I was just trying to put things into perspective that we're not in control of our lives, and we try to do our best and to live. That's really the Jewish approach. So that's a whole long discussion. It's not for now. But I've alluded to it over the course of these last couple of months. What this is of how to live even as a society, as far as opening up businesses and schools and continuing on with life, and recognizing the dangers, but where they are and how they are as much as our ability, but being able to live. But there's a pachad of mavis that's in the world. It's an unbelievable pachad, So there are tzaddikim that are able to live in this world, and the malach mavis has already been defeated. That doesn't mean they're not going to die. They're going to end up also in the Beschaim. But the Malach HaMavis doesn't hold sway over these people. Not this spell from the Malach HaMavis. Again, they follow Halacha. Halacha requires in the Shema Temoid, you have to be careful. Halacha requires in the Shema Temoid, not to say. How many children have died of COVID? Under 15 years old have died of COVID. I don't know if it's a miracle, the whole world. My wife showed me an article from the Wall Street Journal. How many have died under 15 years of age in the entire, I think it's the entire world, under 15 years of age? 74. In the whole world, I think the whole world, the whole America, either one is impressive. When I say impressive, I mean it's chaval. We don't want to see, God forbid, one person die. It's a tragedy. Of course, a tragedy. Anybody dies, any child, especially those parents, it's a terrible tragedy. I'm not making light of that. schools not to open. Every single day, there are kids that are dying all over the place. They're healthy, but there are thousands of them that are dying. In the whole America, 74 kids under 15 have died. I think more of them probably die in roller coasters. More probably die in roller coasters. Or their fingers get stuck to the games and they pass out and more die. You know what kind of how they train with these guys in football? They work out with them every year. There are guys that college kids that die from training in football. And they still play football. But there's a pachad of marvis. It's a pachad that takes over the mind and takes over the spirit of a person, of not just of an individual, but of an entire society. My saying this is going to cause people to get very, very upset, which I look up. Because there's a pachad of marvis. Ki'ilu, you would think that there's the Black Plague and that thousands and thousands and thousands of children have died from this, God forbid. 74, that's what I read. 74, under the age of 15. There are millions and hundreds of millions of children, 74. Which in the world of statistics, there's no human being as a statistic, chas v'chalila. But in that world of statistics, 74 out of is negligible, means goodness. It means nothing. And yet, it's in control. Pachad of dying. So Rav Aviner explains how when a person lives with Ma'ase Merkava, that fear goes away. It goes away. You don't live in that with that fear. Instead, a person lives with omis, with strength. But omis kedushasim la'aseach kula yas amamis. Even before the chesamis, and aseach kula is ma'amamis as amamis. Ma'aseh b'reishis, Rav Aviner explains. Ma'aseh b'reishis hu hofas hayesh me'akodim liyesh. Me'al hayesh. We were learning about Ma'aseh b'reishis. Rav Kook was explaining how Ma'aseh b'reishis is that reality before the reality that we know of, or that's above the reality that we know of. Me'al hayesh. Ma'aseh merkava. What's Ma'aseh merkava? Really, that was Parshas Bereishis, and now we're going in Parshas Noach. Is Ma'aseh Merkava? Ma'aseh Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis is mostly Ma'aseh Bereishis. At the end, it's already shifting over then to Ma'aseh Merkava. Ma'aseh Merkava behezba poshu dekeitzad v'Baruch Shalom roichev ala olam. The simple pshat in Ma'aseh Merkava is how is the Baruch Shalom the chariot driver that's running the world, the driver of the world, roichev. How is Hashem driving the world? HaMerkava Elokis Kifisha Mofia B'Tchila Sefi Yecheskel. As it's described with very, very, very mysterious terms and words at the beginning of Sefi Yecheskel. Sidrei HaHashgacha HaElyona. The way that Hashgacha works. Sidrei HaHashgacha HaElyona. Ha-philosophim ahavu esamunach hashgacha. The philosophers, meaning the Jewish philosophers, the tzaddikim, the philosophers, they prefer to use the word hashgacha. Ve-chacham ha-pnimiyim, the mekubalim, prefer to use esamunach hanhaga, hanhaga, like the Ramchal, hanhaga. Even the modern word for driving a car is a nahag or a bus. It's a nahag. They prefer the term hanhagim, the mekubalim. Heyos v'amila hashgach yichol l'esparish k'estaklus pasivs. The reason that the Ramchal and the other mekubalim didn't care so much for the word hashgacha is because hashgacha could be something which is passive. You're watching something. Like a lot of the mashgichim in the restaurants that we eat from, you know, it's from a distance. It's from a distance. I hope that they're being more careful with when we were first married. I used to do some mashgacha work too, so I recall with some horror what was going on back then. I'm sure it's improved by now. So hashgacha can mean can mean passively. There was one I remember particularly, was around 90, looked like he was 95, 98 years old, sat in the chair the whole time while the kitchen was busy with a million things going on, and he was eating jelly beans the whole time. Every time I was there, he would just sit in the chair with his head like this, eating jelly beans. And when I would pass by, he would grab me, he would tell me to take a look to see what's doing. And then he would talk a little bit, learning. And that was the name of the Mashgiach that was on this place. So Hashgacha can be something which is very passive. It means you're watching. Hashgiach, Menachalaynas, Menacharakim. Pikuach lelo hisarbus. So Hashgacha can mean you're watching something, but you're not involved. You're not doing anything. You're just watching it. That's why the Mekubalim are not very fond of the word Hashgacha. We have that by the philosophers, by the Rambam and Sadi others, but those tzaddikim. But by the Mekubalim, they didn't care for the word Hashgacha so much. I mean, it will come up every now and then, but that wasn't their go-to way of discussing this. Hanhogi pnimius yais. Hanhogi means to be driving, not to be a spectator, not to be watching. Hanhogi means you're the one that's in charge. Habitu amafia kan. Who hanhar? But of course, Rav Kook would come up with something new. So not hashgacha, not hanhar. He uses both of those also, but hanhar, a torrential flow of presence. It doesn't just mean he also wasn't satisfied with hanhar. Hanhar also means amish, a flood of Hashem, an explosion of Hashem's light. Hanhar. And the Mefarshim Rashi, Abarbanel, and others talk about what is Ma'aseh HaKavod at the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel to define what's Ma'aseh HaKavod. And all of these discussions of Ma'aseh HaKavod are based upon the Sugya in Chagiga. So the big question is, and we've discussed this in the past, Vesepis Yecheskel HaNavi. We know that Yecheskel HaNavi was not on the same madrega as Yeshaya HaNavi. Yeshaya was on a higher madrega. And Yecheskel Chazal say could be, and Yeshaya is like a Ben Kfar and a Ben Krach. Yecheskel is like was compared to a villager, like an outsider, you know, somebody who was from like the mountains, the country. And Yeshaya was a Ben Krach, was a person from the city, meaning it's a way of saying that it was more, his nevuah was more sophisticated, was on a higher level than Yecheskel HaNavi. And yet, the secret of Ma'aseh HaMerkava was given over to Yecheskel HaNavi. And the Zohar Kodesh talks about this. Chazal talk about this. Why Yecheskel HaNavi? Why is it that Yecheskel was the one who was sent to reveal this secret of Ma'aseh HaMerkava at the beginning of the first Golus? I mean, not counting Mitzrayim, the first Golus of the Jewish people from Yerushalayim. That's when Yecheskel lived. Now, his name, of course, is the answer. His name means Chizuk. His name means Chizuk. To give chizuk. Lomu lo noka divrei idud liyitzia ma'abrolos. Okay, since the job of Yecheskel is to give chizuk, that's his job, is to give chizuk, so then he should have given some nice chizuk. That should be his opening nevuah, would be to give chizuk, to say, listen, chevre, it's going to be okay, the Baruch Hashem loves you, he'll take us back, it's going to be all right. Say over the Kedusha Slavi, something, you know, to give chizuk. But instead, Yecheskel begins like, and everybody was just saying, what are you talking about? What was that? Well, there's an eagle, there's a tiger, there's a lion, there's an eagle, there's this, there's that. There's one. What are you talking about? So we would have expected Yecheskel to deliver some good, comprehensible chizuk, idud, encouragement. That's what we would expect. Instead, he hits us with these, with Ma'aseh HaMerkava. Remember, we were mamish miserable. By Yecheskel's opening drasha, We were in the worst place ever. The lowest, lowest, lowest place ever. We're just out in the harvest bottom. Mam. That was it. Al Nahar's Baba Mamas. Yecheskel will tell him a darba al Yitzim and Rolitz. She amash be hadad of Yaiser. She over alam Yisum. It should say Yitzia El Hagolus. She amash be hadad of Yaiser. She over alam Yisum. This is the greatest crisis that the Jewish people ever experienced. As a people, this is it. The most terrible crisis ever. Remember, we didn't know what's going to be. We're going to come back. And as we see from Sefer Yechezkel, that the people thought that Hashem's book was done, like that he was giving us a get. Bye-bye. He's finished. We had no idea what was going to be. Besides the physical mass, which was horrible. Yisrael hayu alad masam. We were living until then. Finally, after all of the years, we came, and Yeshua brought us. And through all of the years following Yeshua until we came, and we were living in our land. Bo Nebuchadnezzar, behiglam alad masam alayetz nech. And Nebuchadnezzar came and took us out. How many people were killed, and all the tzaros and so on. Ayei Rebbeinu Shlomo. Where's the Bereshit? Heicha Hamanig, where's the driver? Where's the one in charge over here? Like Avraham Avinu, mi Baal Habira. Who's the Baal Abbas? Avraham Avinu saw Bira Delekes. Delekes could either mean an unbelievably beautiful, shining world with all kinds of amazing things going on, or it could mean Delekes on fire. A world that makes no sense. There's so much misery and suffering. You could learn it either way. Svarim say it either way. But Avraham Avinu said, ask the question, mi bal habir? Who is running this place? Mi bal habir? Mi bal habir? And a scientific, rational person can make a case against Tan Hagen, Hashgacha, whatever you want to call it, Tan Hagen. So many, many people were wondering at that time in history, many Jews were wondering, mi bal habir? Who's the Baal Abbas? Who's in charge over here? Now, these were people who remember, they were part of the world of the first Beis HaMikdash, Nevuah, Urim V'Tumim, Malchus. It's not like us. We grew up in Hestapan. We grew up in a Hestapan. So unfortunately, we used to Hestapan. We used to Hashem being covered. We used to living in darkness and without feeling Hashem's love, Hashem's presence. We're used to that. It should still hurt us, but we're used to it. We were raised in the cave. You know, we were raised in darkness. But these are the Jews that came out from Yerushalayim, from Eretz Yisrael, from First Beis HaMikdash. They were raised with a Kohen Gadol, you know, Nevuah, with Malchus. They were raised with Nisim and Eflos. They were surrounded by miracles. They were surrounded by everything. They lived a life of Hashem's clear presence and availability. You can go to Navi. You needed an AC, you go talk to Navi. And the Navi would look at to see you and look at the Kritlan, see the Sharish of your Neshama, and would give you an AC according to the Sharish, the wood of your soul. And all of a sudden, everything is Bavel. Bavel means Bilbul Melech. Bavel Melech Bilbul. Melech Bilbul. Everything is. So that's where we were. Where's the driver? I remember once I went with a few rabbanim. There was a this is many, many years ago. There was a get that needed to be delivered with a shliach. And I was going with the best, and then we were delivering a get to a woman who lived someplace where it was hard to get to. And the husband that was giving the get was not really cooperating so much. And the woman was, it was a hard parasha. Kids, we had to take a plane to get there. And I was never on such a plane. It was a tiny plane. It only had like, I don't know how many, like 10 seats or something. It was just a few people, this plane. And it was moving around a lot. If you were the type that, you know, wear the mask when you're driving, you wouldn't have gone onto that plane. and it was crazy, the plane. And there was a cipher, like this old Eilisha Yid, and he's like crying and holding on. It was a bad trip. And we met the pilot going into this little plane. And then we're like in the air, and it's like not so gewaldig what's happening over there. And then the pilot comes out with a tray with sodas for us. So this year, the Polish, the sofa says to me in Yiddish, he says, like, who's driving? Because we only saw one pilot, you know, there's the one pilot. So he looked at me and said, you know, what's with the soda? He says, who's driving over here? Who's driving? So I said, the rabbi wants to know who's driving. So he said, oh, I got like another auto thing. I'll be back there in a minute. The guy comes out, the only guy that's driving comes out the plane, comes out with a, now if you're in a bus like that, it's big, right? I guess the plane even back then, this 40 years ago, it must have had some kind of thing, I don't know. You could, like on the highway, you could press a button. I never use that thing, it gets me nervous. But you know, cruise control, I don't like that. So, everybody shalom, who's driving? Who's driving? Hey, Hamani, where's the driver? So it's amazing. Yecheskel doesn't begin by saying sweet and simple words of encouragement. He begins by giving over Ma'aseh Merkava. That's how he sets it up. But then, of course, there's a lot of chizuk afterwards. But he begins with Ma'aseh Merkava. Ma'aseh Merkava means, listen, you don't understand this right now, and you might never understand this, because it's a long time has passed since then, and we still don't understand all of that. But there's a balabas, yesh manhig, yesh nahag, there's a driver. Everything is, there's a seder, what Hashem wants in the world, how everything is set up. Now, I'm not explaining to you the same way that I don't know how the car works. Most of you don't know how it works. Certainly an airplane, don't know how it works. But there's a mahaluch of how it works. There's a mahaluch of how it works. Somebody was explaining to me the other day that he's starting a new business, and he kept on going on talking about algorithms. You ever hear that word? Something about algorithms. So I didn't want to interrupt him, but after like 15 minutes, he told me how. So I asked him, I don't know what that is. What's an algorithm? You know what that is, an algorithm? I don't know what it is. I don't remember from school anything, an algorithm. So, but I understand it's like a beginning now, algorithms. Everybody's supposed to have them or something. I don't know what it is, but it's a big thing, an algorithm. And he was talking to me like, I understood this. And he was saying all kinds of fancy stuff. I don't know what he was talking about. He was trying to tell me what his business is, like what he's doing. To the computers, and he's like some high technology thing, and he's going, oh, but it is that algorithm, this algorithm, that, and oh, wow, and he's going to make money like this, and we're going to, I don't know, sell algorithms, buy algorithms, I don't know what you do with it. But he was talking to me about all this stuff, the algorithms, and I just said, then it was like quiet, he was waiting to hear what I thought about it, and I said, no, I hope you have a lot of hatzlacha. I don't know what that is, an algorithm. So, and then he started explaining to me, it got worse. Like, when he started explaining to me, it got worse. Oh, the algorithm, you know. Okay, but there's an Indian like that. There's an Indian like that. There's a site like that. There's a Seder. See, Yecheskel begins with a very hard shiur. He begins with a very hard shiur. That Hashem set up a system, which he's constantly, there's no steer between him serving sodas and being at the steering wheel. Hashem is constantly there. And this is the Mahalach, this is how he set up the world. This is how he runs the universe. Galgalei ha-history, the wheels of history. Now, all of the tzaddikim, all the mekubalim, of course, and Chazal, especially those who were the tzayf and the ma'isa makar, we have especially the early mekubalim, the Sefer Avoy here. The svarim that are revealing to us more and more and more what are the different, like what are the algorithms of creation of the ma'isa makar. One can learn these things. It's very, very hard. Galgalei ha-historia, the wheels of history, how they work. Ufanei ha-historia, again, the wheels of the chariot of history. Tisai pit omre isi ruach bami hatzofen. So Yechezkel is describing there's a ruach that comes from the north, there's a ruach that comes from the south, and so on, the way it's written in the beginning of Yechezkel. Yesh arbechai is there are four creatures. Arba mamlochas, four kingdoms. The four Malkis, the four exiles, the four Mamlochites, Me'alah Kol, Me'alah Kisei, and above all of this, and above and upon the throne, Ribono Shel Olam, Sholet Al Kol. Hashem rules over everything, controls everything, Umesados Hakol, and is taking care of everything. So it's just this picture at the beginning of Yechezkel, this painting of the world, really of all worlds, and Kivyochel Hashem, who's Rochev Al HaKol, who's driving everything. That's the beginning of Yechezkel. There are going to be four kingdoms. Now, what each one of those kingdoms is going to be like is all in the remnants of those animals, and the Adam Al HaKisa, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. All of that's described. And the Ruach Sa'ara, the different the storms and the winds and the lightning and the thunder, all of those, of course, are Ramazim and Meshalim of how Hashem runs the world. Therefore, the Navi is saying, I'll give you more chizuk later on, because Golus is not easy. But I want to tell you something. That's where Yechezkel begins his drasha. I want to tell you something. I was sent to remind you, and we have to remember this because it's been a long time since he had a Navi, but I was sent to remind you that there's a Balabira. He's got this all figured out. There's a plan. There's a blueprint. Right now, in this present moment, the Navi is saying, everything is already planned out till Mashiach. It's already all planned out. The formality is... Everything is planned out. Everything is up and working. There's a balabira. Hakol yovo amakomu b'shalom. Everything will fall into its place at the right time. Again, he's not saying that life is great, that it's easy. But in order to survive, you have to know that it has meaning. You have to know that there's purpose to your life. You have to know there's a reason for that. Even though I don't know what it is, but there's a reason for my suffering. That this is all part of some vast eternal plan. I think, as Debbie said, it's on the roof. It's all part of some vast eternal plan. It's not hefker. Zum nevuah shel nechama. Zum nevuah shel nechama. Therefore, the beginning of Sefer Yechezkel, Al Naharos Bavel, over there. In that terrible, terrible matzah that we were in, crying in chains, being dragged and beaten and so on, out of Eretz Yisrael. It was a nevuah of Nechama. It was a nevuah of Hashem's Nechama. Hashoeves as HaKoyches Me'oymeg Ha'avan. It draws its strength, its power, its energy. Me'oymeg Ha'avan. From the depths of the limits of human understanding. Mashberim kashim lanitan liftor b'amsoz b'sorenes pshutim. When a person is going through a, God forbid, a terrible, terrible crisis in his life or her life. You can't solve that. We need to lift our v'amsoz pisyonos pshutim with simple solutions. Alarak v'amsoz ra'yonos amukim. You can only solve it with ra'yonos amukim when a person has a deep understanding of what is this matzav that I'm in now. When we learn Torah, especially when we learn the Torah deeper and deeper, we're allowed into that, into the control room. The control room. You know, you go into the old city. When you go into the old city, right when you go through Shayafa, on the right side, you get past the place where there's some drivers hanging around. So when you go, so there's a police station, right? You know what I'm talking about when you go to it. And inside of there, I was in there once. Inside of there, you have the chaver, you have soldiers, police, vice, all the chaver, and they got a million screens, television screens. Every single corner of the old city. Every single corner of the entire old city. Every single Dalet Amos, there are people that they're busy every single second. Every second. I told you once that when I was a buffer, so in those years, it's a long time ago in the act. We still used to go to the Kaiser, we'd walk through the shuk, we'd go through the shuk. In the middle of the day, we'd go through the shuk. And then the Arabs were still afraid. And we used to go through the shuk. And I was walking there, a lot of people were walking. It wasn't Shabbos, I remember. And we were walking through the market. We used to go, people would shop there. Jews would shop there also. Going through the shuk, the Arab shuk. And there was an altayid that was handling with an Arab in a store over a price. They were arguing. And the old Jew didn't like it and was annoyed with the price. And he just went to him, he says, ah, like this, and he started walking away. And the Arab took him by the shoulder to pull him back. I was walking right there at that time. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you this, I saw this, this is, must have been 1973, I don't remember. All of a sudden, from nowhere, there were soldiers standing by windows on rooftops with their guns aimed. Isn't it like this, with their guns aimed. And there was one that jumped out of an alleyway and took this Arab and banged his head against the wall and threw him on the floor and told him to apologize. He said, apologize to him. That's how it was in the good old days. I was there when this happened. They were having it all over the place. There. All over. No one was walking a step that wasn't being watched. Before all the sophisticated stuff that they have now. Now they have a lot more ways of watching. But that's how it was. Allah has come over come a billion, trillion times more. When you go into the control room, you see what's going on? So we have no music. Ma'aseh Makavi Yechezkel was saying, listen, Chaver, come just for a second. I can't explain how this technology works to you. You don't understand algorithms. But I want you to see that everything is on this, the virtual screen. Everything's on this. And it's not just that he's watching. He's here. Everything. There's nothing stunned. Nothing hefka. Everything is on the screen. And again, it's not just the screen. Everything is... My car keys don't tell time. One second, let me see. Everything, every single thing is with that hanhaga, that hanhara, that light of Hashem's presence. Every single thing. So he explains... The word merkava also comes to the word when something is murkav. Murkav means it has many pieces. Harkava. It's composed of many pieces. It's mesubach. It's complicated. Rav Kook, you know, see, Yehuda said Rav Kook used to write Historia with a tough, not with a tesson. Because Rav Kook used to say that Historia is Hester Ka, Hashem's concealment. It's Historia. Hester Ka. They write with a tess, but he used to say Hester Ka, Hashem's concealment, Hashem's being hidden. Hamusag Historia, Nitil Harfaga. Lorak Historia, history, we have to expand it a little bit more. Lorak Historia shall oisat kufa. The Bershom had everything, Yechezkel was saying, the Bershom has this all worked out and planned out, not just for what's happening right now today, that he's in charge, but forever. Forever. Gam Historia shall am Yisrael shall oilam shall kol oilam. Of all worlds. Kate said, the Bershom man here es hakol. How Hashem is illuminating, shining in, meaning is present in everything. Rochev ala kol, nimtza b'soich hakol, mekusha el hakol. How Hashem is conducting, driving everything, and is every second attached, completely bound to everything. This is really why the Kadmonim explained it's so important. At some point in a person's life, when he or she is ready, it's so important to learn the Seder Hishtalshalos of the islands. In other words, when you learn the Kitzvei Ari, and that's each person in his own time, her own time, but this the Seder Hishtalshalos, how did it come to be that from Echad Yachid Amiuchad, from that Hashem Echad, how did all this come to be? And the whole Seder Hishtalshalos, a shalshalos is a chain. And the whole Seder is shalshalos. It takes you back to the control room. The Ari HaKadosh was given permission to give a tour of the control room. You understand? Maybe Shimon began, but it was only to a very, very few who were allowed into the control room. Then the Ari HaKadosh was also many, many more. Still, only the top, top, top were allowed into to see the controls. And then through the Ramchal, the Von Lagarin, the Malshem Tov HaKadosh, the Stalshlis, the Seder Stalshlis, that was made open, that regular people are able to take a tour to see how is this all coming from one God? That's really what all of Kabbalah is about. That's what Kabbalah is all about. How did all of this happen? What's the chain? Take me back to where it started. How does this work? That's what Kabbalah is all about. How does this work? How did it come to here, to this? As Bereshal HaBarbanel, Cholub Tzas HaLeRambam. The Barbanel is different than the Rambam, how he explains the Merkava. The Rambam, as you know, the Rambam preferred always to live in, or to give over the world of pshat, meat and potatoes. That's that's how the Rambam preferred to give over. There are occasional places where you see the Rambam goes somewhere else. And that's why there were tzaddikim that insisted, that believed that the Rambam himself knew the deepest secrets of Kabbalah. But he certainly covered them in a very, very remarkable way. But there are places in the writings of the Rambam. The Rezina writes about them, Sagdamah, the Rezakim, and the other tzaddikim spoke about. It's actually a place in the Barbanel. Here there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Barbanel. The Barbanel is a sefer called Nachlas Ovis on Pirkei Avos. It's not Barbanel, Nachlas Ovis. At the end of the fourth parak, Barbanel said that he had a Kabbalah that the Rambam at the end of his life met a Chacham who revealed to him secrets. And the Rambam said that if I would have known these secrets, then much of my writings would have been different. The Barbanel says that. He doesn't say who the Chacham and what the Chacham. But there's a difference. The Rambam agrees. Nobody disagrees that the Maisa Makov is how Hashem runs the world. Abarbanel Masbir has be historic, but Rambam lo. Now the Abarbanel chooses the path of Hashem's historical Hashkoch and Hanaga to explain. The Rambam doesn't usually do that. There's one notable exception. Well, there's more than one, but the most famous exception he brings down here is at the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah. But the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, how did Avodah Zarah come to be? How did that happen, Avodah Zarah? Like, how did many gods come from one god? What happened? That the Rambam does explain. Generally, the Rambam sticks to the present. He does not go into history. The Rambam is dealing with reality. That was his specialty. The Rambam, as you all know, was focused on reality. That was the Rambam. That's a famous thing there. Shom Masbir, next page, 53. Shom Masbir Rambam. The Rambam explains, or not explains, there he traces the history of Avodah Zarah. Obviously, the Rambam felt over there was no choice. He had to do that. How do you go from Yisod HaTorah, from the Yisodus of Emunah, which is the beginning of the Rambam, and then explain that there's a world that is that is so different than what the Rambam just described in Yisod HaTorah? In Yisod HaTorah, Rambam's talking about Hashem is everything. Hashem is one. And he talks about the Malachim and the angels and so on. And then the Rambam has to continue on with it with all of us to say, but you're living in a world that doesn't appear that way. And so he explains at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, which is right afterwards, soon afterwards, the Rambam begins to explains, well, this is what happened. This is what happened to the world after you saw the HaTorah. This is what happened. How the world got fablonged. And the Rambam talks about how it happened. By Enosh, after Adam and Chavin, what happened, how the world got fablonged. First they believed that the sun and the moon are helpers, you know, that Hashem appointed them and so on, until it kept on going and going and going until you ended up with, with the Super Bowl or something, how it all ended. But how the whole Stauslis, the Rambam explains. But the kav rashi, the usual kav that the Rambam stands on, goes with the kav of right now reality. That's his kav. It doesn't go into the whole thing usually. He doesn't talk about the story of how things came to be. He talks about the objective reality. That's the Rambam's mouth. The absolute truth that one can, the absolute reality that one is living in. Olam Haba, Kafakach, and therefore he doesn't go to Pratim. Olam Haba, he says, but there's an Olam Haba. Olam Haba is, what does it mean, Olam Haba? He doesn't go into the whole espousals of Olam Haba is. The Rambam lo chashuva derech is galgulus v'espousals and yonam ad olam haba. The Rambam is not concerned with the whole espousals from Olam Hazet to Olam Haba. That's not his inyan. Also ma'anyein ha'olam haba ha'muchlad v'lo b'yahas l'olam shekod m'lo. The Rambam's concern is here, this is what it is, there's going to be an Olam Haba. He's not saying the whole stashlus of how it gets to Olam Haba, what that means, what Olam Haba, how Olam Haba came to be. That's not his any, not Olam Hazen, not Olam Haba. Lo biyachas lo Olam Shekodlo. My marachi is a Yisraelis, Mahaba bi Olam Haisei Mekava, Ketzo Ben Shalom B'chai is a Kol. His Rebbe was Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Rav Avner's Rebbe was Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kol, and he brings that in the Nesivis Yisrael. There, Rav Tzvi Yehuda is explaining more about the meaning of what Ma'aseh Merkava is. Now, Rav Kook does not go into any more details of what the Ma'aseh Merkava is. He doesn't go into more details of that. In the next piece that we're going to learn in Mishnah Shem next Erev Shabbos, what Rav Kook does explain is what influence, what impact does the Ma'aseh Merkava have upon our ethical or unethical way of living in this world? What's the impact? What's the connection between Ma'aseh Merkava and my not stealing from somebody at work? Am I not lying about quarantine or something? You know what I mean? What is the connection between Ma'aseh Merkava? What does it have to do with Ma'aseh Merkava? And what influence does knowing the deepest secrets of the universe What influence does that have upon my day-to-day life as an either ethical person, or God forbid, an ish musar, or as a person who's not an ish musar, or somebody who's unethical? Isn't it enough that I just know that God exists? What's the point and purpose of all of these intricate, complex details, a klimis atayra of Kabbalah, ma'aseh merkava, when it comes to you know, putting the thing into the toll and not token into the, well, now I don't know if they use tokens. No more tokens. I have been in the subway. No more tokens. What do you lose? A card? Okay. All right, Baruch Hashem, I haven't been in the subway in a long time. There's an old song that we used to sing from a famous mushkas. The song was, "Subway's no way for a good man to go down." Subway's no way for a good man. So I haven't been down there in a long time. So whether or not you're going to cheat with your token or your card, how is that affected by Maise Gracious, Maise Makava? What's the meaning of Pnimius HaTorah? Because these Mamorim and Ares HaKadosh, the beginning of Ares HaKadosh, all are really setting up the stage for all of Rav Kook's Machshava, all of his Torah, which is the urgency of learning the deepest Torah of Pnimius HaTorah, of being Jews who are connected to the depths of Yiddishkeit. Each person, according to his Madrega. These are all the Mamorim that are at the beginning of Ares HaKadosh. So he's setting it up. We'll continue with the next three verses. Have a look at your Shabbos, wherever you are, all the time. It's good to see you, Baruch Hashem.